We are here in the name of Christ to lift up our hearts, to offer our praise. We come to offer our praise, to seek His will, to hear His word, and to receive His blessing and know His love. So let us stand, join together, and sing our first hymn this morning, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, and know that He is with us as we worship this morning. That's just such a beautiful hymn, isn't it? Those simple words, just be still in God's presence. So let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, on this first Sunday of Lent, we come together to worship you, to seek your forgiveness and ask for renewal. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord. We come in the name of Christ, remembering his lonely days in the wilderness, his time dealing with temptation, and his ministry that followed, restoring and transforming so many lives. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord. Help us to learn from his example, to search our hearts as he did, to consider our calling, to reflect on our faith, to resist temptation and to commit ourselves more wholly to you. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord. Help us to recognize all Jesus has done for us through his life, death, and resurrection. And so may we come gladly to you, confessing our sins, accepting our weaknesses, and receiving your forgiveness. Gracious, merciful God, as we come together on this first Sunday of Lent, speak to us today and in the days ahead, so that we may know you and love you better. And a Lent petition. Loving God, we remember today how much Christ loved us, how much he was willing to sacrifice and endure for our sakes. Teach us to follow. You set before him the need to choose between the way of self and the way of the cross, the way of the world and the way of love, the way of life that leads to death, but the way of death that leads to life. We thank you for the choice he made and all that lay behind it, the faith that gave him inner strength, the courage to take the path he needed to, the love which guided all. Forgive us that having received so much from him, we sometimes give so little in return. We become self-centered, putting ourselves before others and before you. Shine away from sacrifice and self-denial. We are narrow in our vision, sometimes more concerned with the ways of the world than spiritual fulfillment, taking the easy, comfortable way rather than the way of Christ. Teach us to follow, Lord, and let us join together in the response. Loving God, renew us in heart, mind, and spirit. Strengthen our wills and deepen our faith, and send us out once more as your people, forgiven and restored to live and work for you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. As this morning's time is unfolding, I hope you will begin to see that there is a theme running through the morning service of just being in God's presence, being still with him, coming to know him. And I'm going to share with you a very short reading from Frank Topping. Some of you might know that Frank Topping, very well known, now retired Methodist minister, and he has written a great deal about being still with God, and his readings just touch the everyday. So, just a short reading from his book, Pause for Thought. In this brief moment of time, calm my mind, help me to relax, let your comforting spirit enter into me and fill me with peace. In this hour, open my eyes to all of the things that you have given, that help, support, and lift troubled minds, Let me find joy in the beauty of a single flower, a branch of a tree, or the vast, embracing sky. Help me to hear the love that lies in the ordinary words of friends and family, to remember the words of guidance that wait for me in your holy word and in the prayers that I say and hear. I know your love will lift me up. Help me, Lord, to trust you. Help me to be thankful, not that yesterday's problems have passed. Help me to measure today, not by the difficulties I might meet, but by the good things that the day will bring. Help me to know that this day will be full of gifts, and give me the knowledge that no matter what happens today or any day, there is nothing that can separate me from you and your love. Lord of this morning, help me. Amen. So we're going to stand and sing our next hymn this morning, which is Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us. Going to listen to our gospel reading this morning, which comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Thank you.
This reading is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is also written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God, and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for sharing those words with us this morning. So let us pray. Lord, may the words that I speak and the thoughts of all our hearts be always acceptable to you. Amen. So, about, I think it must have been about 10:30, 10:45 on Tuesday, I got a text from my son. I might just add that he's now entering his nearly 30th year. And the text said, safe to say, Mum, my pancake making has got a long way to go before it reaches your standards. I wonder how many of you made pancakes to mark Shrove Tuesday. Yes, loads of hands. I thought so. Have you noticed how the supermarkets market it as a pancake day now? That always annoys me just a little bit, but that's the way of the world. I wonder how many of you maybe were a bit more adventurous and took part in a pancake race? Yes? No? No. Okay. It's become one of the traditions over the last few years to hold a pancake race at our weekly chit-chat group at St. Mary's and to see so many nationalities joining in and having real fun. It was a joy. We had to do it on Wednesday because that when is when we meet, but there was really something special about that shared fun experience. And I understand that one of the most sought after products this year was one of those emoji frying pans where you can get a pattern coming out in your pancake, such as a smiley face. So there we go. Available on eBay and Amazon, so I believe. But what about the following day? What about Wednesday? For most, I suspect it was just an ordinary day. For others, of course, it was Ash Wednesday, the day that marks the beginning of Lent, and for Christians, the 40 days before Easter. You may well have come here this morning expecting, as indeed we did, to hear an account of Jesus' temptations in the wilderness. The same words can be found in Matthew, in Mark and in Luke. And there can't be any doubt that that happened. Now, I'll let you into it's not really a secret, but when I began my training to be a local preacher many years ago, one of my tutors used to say, when you're preparing for a service, keep this phrase in mind. Tell the congregation what you're going to say, say it, and then remind them what you've said. But I'm actually going to step away from that, and in some ways I'm going to do the opposite by saying, that I don't want us to dwell on the temptations that Jesus faced this morning. But what I would like us to reflect on is about the place where it happened, the Judean wilderness, the place recorded in the opening verse. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led in the wilderness. So here's a question. When you hear those words, what comes to mind? Maybe these words might help you form an image. The Judean desert is nestled up against the Jordan River, a small desert filled with treasures from nature. Rugged mountain cliffs, I believe we've got a picture coming up, rolling hills beside plateaus, riverbeds set in deep canyons. Springtime is a time for blossom, but only for a short period. For when the sun comes out, the intense heat dries it up, leaving a desert wilderness. This is the place where David found refuge. The place that Isaiah describes when he says the wilderness and the land will be glad, and the desert will blossom like a rose. This is the place where Elijah hid, where Jeremiah speaks of finding grace, where John the Baptist lived. This place, this wilderness, it had a profound impact on the people who lived there. And it continues to do so, because I found this description of a visit by someone just a couple of years ago. And this is what the leader said. I was sitting on a ledge 200 feet above the wilderness. An unending sea of sand dunes lay in front of me. It is a beautiful place. The scale alone is spectacular. And when the deep colours of the sun collide with the trillion granules of sand, it is simply breathtaking. This was the deepest stillness that nature had to offer. A place of solitude, a place to simply open your heart to God. And this is what Jesus was seeking. Here he was, on the threshold of starting his ministry. He was taking that first step along the path where he was going to face all those challenges and obstacles. A path that was ultimately going to lead him to the cross. This wasn't a chance withdrawal. He had come to this place to be alone with God so he could pray. And in praying, he could understand his Father's will. I wonder if there's anyone here that's visited the Iona community in Scotland. I haven't, but it's most certainly on one of my places to visit. And many people who do go there, they spend time in prayer, but they also speak about experiencing the thin places, those places where people become acutely aware of God's presence. Locations where people truly feel close to heaven and have this deepening awareness of the presence of God. A few years ago, we spent some time in New Zealand and we took a trip to Doubtful Sound, which is one of the most remote places on South Island, and it stretches right out into the Tasman Sea. And after we'd been out for a while, the captain dropped anchor, cut the engine, and asked us all to just be still and listen. Now, I don't know if he was a man of faith, but what I do know is that that action allowed many people on that boat to have the most extraordinary opportunity to experience peace and solitude and stillness, a place for us to drop our anchors. And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He continued to find these places throughout his ministry, times when he just needed to drop his anchor. He sought places where he could withdraw for a while. In Mark chapter 1, we hear very early in the morning, when it was still dark, Jesus got up and went to a solitary place. Matthew tells us later in his gospel, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And further on, he records Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. He did it before he chose his disciples. He did it when he was tired after teaching. He did it at times of grief and distress, like in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus led by example. These actions of his are powerful lessons to us about the value of solitude, of dropping our anchors, finding a place where we can go to spend time with God. And it could be anywhere, a quiet moment in a garden, a quiet moment in a car when you are just simply on your own. Those moments are there if we seek them. So, how are you going to mark this season of Lent? I think over the past few years there's been a few trends developing about the way we all observe Lent. For example, we've had the Take Something Up for Lent. We've been encouraged to do a good deed for someone every day in Lent. And they're all very commendable in their own way. But you know what? I do wonder if we are missing something fundamental about the purpose of Lent. It's not meant to be a kickstarter for a new diet or exercise routine or a declutter time for our homes. We live in an increasingly busy, frantic world that never seems to stand still. Our minds are always busy with that frantic inner chatter. Do you know what I mean? Those thoughts that keep you awake at night, where you feel like you're on a treadmill, you've got this to do, that person to see, that challenge to overcome, that worry in your mind. How often does the time we set aside for prayer become something else we just need to squeeze in somewhere? And it shouldn't be like that. In a moment, we're going to sing a hymn that begins with the words, "Speak in the stillness." And that's what we need to find time to be still so that we can reflect on the enormity of what God was willing to do for us. and just to wonder at that boundless act of grace. So whatever goal you have during the season of Lent, let's all rediscover the practice of stillness. I began this reflection by reminding you of the opening verse we heard, and I want to finish by sharing with you the verse that comes immediately after the end of the reading. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Jesus left the wilderness empowered. His solitude in the wilderness allowed him to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he invites each one of us to do the same. So I pray that we may all find the place and the time to be still in God's presence and be filled and empowered by his Spirit. Amen. We are now going to be led in our prayers of intercession this morning.
Let us pray. Father God, we have come here today to worship you and to sing your praises, for you are a great and loving God. We thank you for the freedom to come to this place without fear, and for the friendship and fellowship that we find here. Father, in these anxious times, we bring you our concerns for all that is happening in our country and in the world at this time. We pray for all those affected by the coronavirus, and we ask that you be with those who are suffering from the virus, those who have unexpectedly lost their loved ones, and those who live in fear of contracting the virus with all its possible consequences. We give you thanks for the diligence of the medical teams throughout the world who are prepared to care for those who are ill, even at the risk of contracting the virus themselves. We pray for all the leaders of the nations as they seek to implement constructive measures to contain its spread. And above all, Lord, we pray that a solution can be found to bring it to a quick end. Father, we pray though for all of those who have been affected by the hurricanes and floods in our country, and for those whose homes and businesses have been damaged or destroyed. We thank you for the work of the emergency services and for the wonderful sense of community that has arisen out of this disaster. Father, we hear so much of global warming and its effects on our climate. We ask that you will help us to play our part as conscientious stewards of this precious planet that you have created for us. Father, we give you thanks for the peace agreement that was signed yesterday between the US and the Taliban, aimed at ending the 18-year war in Afghanistan. And we pray that this may be the start to bringing peace to this so troubled area of the world. We pray for all of those affected by war and unrest, and in particular the innocent children who have known nothing but conflict in their short lives. Father, we pray for all children, especially those who feel pressured by the society in which they live, in whatever way. We ask that you provide them with the strength and courage they need to overcome their fears, and to give their parents or carers the foresight and wisdom to determine how best to support them in their anxiety. Father, we especially ask for your blessing and guidance in our current endeavours to seek a children and families worker for KMC, and that we, as a church family, can play our part in the local community here in Knapp Hill. In a moment of the silence that Rosie has spoken of today, let us bring to God our own prayers, those concerns that are on our hearts. Father, as always, we bring our prayers to you in the name of your precious Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And shall we now share together the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
This morning's offertory will now be received. Heavenly Father, we bring these gifts of money to you, but we also bring ourselves. We offer ourselves to you, and we ask that you will bless us, bless these gifts that we have bought this morning, use us and them to further the work of your kingdom here on earth. Amen. So we're going to sing our final hymn this morning, which I think is a national favourite. It was shown some time ago. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, and I'm sure that most of you here probably know, but I will just mention it, that the verse that speaks about speak through the earthquake, wind and fire is actually referring to Elijah when he disappeared into the wilderness in his ministry, and God actually came to him in the quiet and the stillness. So let's stand and sing this beautiful hymn together. we share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And may God go with each one of you during this coming days and weeks of Lent. Amen.